Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
And I'm Barbara Bogave. We're listening here to Hologramic Dub by Paul Miller. Miller is a musician and a multimedia sculptor. He's also written about digital music and digital culture. His book, Rhythm Science, made it onto a bunch of best books of the year lists in 2004. But Miller's best known as a musician under another name. He's DJ Spooky, the turntable artist. He was commissioned by Lincoln Center to remix D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, and he made it into a hit live audio and video performance that toured internationally and across America. That work was about rethinking history and the history of race in America through music. He called it DJ Spooky's Rebirth of a Nation. So history, race, music, and rebirth, they're very provocative and also very evocative ideas here, big ideas.
Very timely.
Yeah, and for us, they evoked what's going on in New Orleans mm-hmm. right now. So we got in touch with Paul Miller, and we asked him to collaborate with us on a collage of impressions of New Orleans after Katrina. Here's what he came back with.
The water marks that were etched into all the buildings left a sort of a yellow-brown stain about 5 to 7 feet high on most of the houses here. Most of everything is empty. There's torn and shredded American flags hanging from certain homes. There's debris in the street as if it's a war zone. I think a certain kind of dream transformed or changed with Katrina.
Congo Square had been flooded as well and had had all sorts of issues pop up. But all of the different things that I think reflect jazz in the history of the city kind of crystallized in there. You know, I mean, it's a place that has such a resonant history. So we walk up, and in the middle of the park, there's a huge protest going on. Huge for an empty city, that is. And we decided to go in and see what was going on.
Somewhere between the water line and the color line lies the poverty line, so we stand in line for shelter, safe haven, and overdue reparations. But patience wears thin when all hope is done. And I know all white boys from Texas ain't bad, but I can think of one. Politicians stay connected, the people unprotected, the wetlands still neglected as you get dissected to the highest bidder. New Orleans, you are not just where I live, you are who I am.
The priorities are in the wrong place. I was evacuated to Chicago. I didn't know what was going on. And then I come down here and, you know, see 50% of my friends being evicted.
The words we just heard were from Amber McZeal. I thought she was amazing because she had a powerful presence and people really became just silent and very respectful when she spoke.
The price of rent has doubled, in fact, tripled in the last 3 months, making it very difficult for artists, students, poor people to live here.
I didn't even hear about the rent going up. I thought because there's nobody here, there would actually be a market, you know, going down a little bit.
No, they're trying to remake the city, recreate the city in the image that they see fit. And as always was, it's in the benefit of the rich.
The crowd at Congo Square was kind of like an improvisational jazz riff. Fragments of different scenes and different geographies all blurred into a kind of a storytelling machine. There were young, old, there was a guy with a gray beard standing on top of a truck for a second. And that's what was so beautiful. It was a community of people trying to compare notes so that they could build a different future. After getting some of the stories of people wandering the streets of New Orleans, I decided to get a little bit more into the history of the place, and that's where museums come into play. The Ogden Museum had tried to figure out some ways to get the community back together and back on its feet, so instead of being an isolated place just for art, they tried to make it a social space for people to come together and compare stories. We decided to get in touch with the museum's director, Rick Gruber, and we wanted to find out how the museum was faring in the face of essentially an empty city.
We are very used to lots of public places in a city like New Orleans, usually 24/7 public places, and they weren't here. So there are very, very few places to even gather and see your friends, your colleagues, other survivors, pioneers, people coming back, telling tales. And that's a lot of what's happening now is still people coming back and comparing notes and talking and, you know, sharing what you need to share, which is sometimes sad, sometimes joyful. It is what it is, and people need places to do that.
The music you're hearing is the Hot 8 Brass Band. They're a really renowned local group of young musicians from different parts of New Orleans. Benny Pete is the band's leader. He plays bass tuba.
What do you think is the role of music in this right now?
Actually, right now, I mean, I'm upset. At the same time, I see a new opportunity in it because it's like way before Katrina, no one ever really got treated right from this city. You know, like, it's sad because the whole town, this whole New Orleans is all built and based upon our music and our food. And both areas is everybody who's involved in the cooking and the food and the musicians, they're all poor, they're starving. What the Hot 8 is trying to do right now is really form a union between just the musicians here. They're not even taking in consideration that we evacuees, man. I mean, they hire us for a gig here, and they tell me they can't get us a hotel room.
After I spent the afternoon with Benny Pete, I called up an associate, the jazz musician Branford Marsalis. He's a New Orleans native, and he's been the public face of a project to rebuild houses for musicians in New Orleans. But he's moved up to New York City. So I thought comparing his perspective to Benny Pete's would be a good way to contrast how different musicians have responded to Katrina.
The music is never in the foreground. It's always in the background. It is impossible in New Orleans for you to develop a clientele. You know, it is impossible for you to go to a club owner and say, when I'm not playing, there's 100 people. When I do play, there's 500. Because in New Orleans, there are 500 people every time. It's just that the 500 people that are there are more interested in seeing the music than they are hearing it. There are few places in America where they can actually say that the music they are playing is there. It's like it was invented in that city. People who live in the town, they don't really seem to give a damn about that. They'll go out and they'll support the music as long as the music operates as a function behind the drinking.
Give it up for Don Kelly putting this whole thing together now. All the kids have lost everything. I had this sweet lady from the Ninth Ward one time. I was saying I felt kind of guilty because my house didn't flood. And she said, you should feel blessed because I'm here because you're here and your house is here. So I'm holding on to you. Yay!
We decided to go to a concert that had been created by a group of lawyers and artists to help out with the everyday needs of people who are still there. So the drummer Stanton Moore plays for the band Galactic, and like everyone else living back in New Orleans and who has refused to leave, he says basic progress has been slow.
It's really angering and infuriating to me to hear people across the country say, oh, what do we need New Orleans for anyway? It's like, I think the city needs a lot of help. And, you know, if you like music whatsoever, you're dancing to a backbeat that was started here in New Orleans.
Now finally we got something to talk about. You see, Mr. Bush, he was busy, 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 busy having a vacation.
Katrina changed the public spaces of New Orleans in a way that somehow reflects all aspects of life there. And one of the most interesting phenomena of New Orleans, of course, is Mardi Gras. People invest a tremendous amount of time in this public ritual. They build costumes and they put an immense amount of attention to detail into reflecting the current ebbs and flows of culture in the city. I decided to go by a store where a woman by the name of Claudia actually makes costumes and collects strange and eccentric costumes from around the country to present during Mardi Gras.
Okay, my name's Claudia Baumgarten, and my store is on Magazine Street, uptown.
Miss Claudia's.
Miss Claudia's Vintage Clothing and Costumes, 4204 Magazine. A lot of clothing stores on Magazine Street were looted in the French Quarter.
Did you get looted?
No, I guess they didn't want what I have. I was sort of miffed. So I was a little offended, but...
I think you have great stuff.
Well, thank you. I mean, if I come back after a storm and it gets looted, I'm coming to look for you. I'm just going to show you the little construction girl outfit.
There had been word that people were dressing as FEMA workers or soldiers in Iraq. That, to me, was the kind of a fun and interesting way of meditating on how Katrina had transformed not only the imagination of people in public spaces, but how the costumes had changed.
So just far as, you know, I mean, I guess if you think it's just completely frivolous, then yeah, you're going to think, why are they costuming while, you know, Rome burns? But it's not like that. There's a lot of culture besides just dressing up. And I'm looking forward to Mardi Gras. I think it's going to be a shorter Mardi Gras, but hopefully it will be a lot of local people that might normally leave, won't leave, and they'll dress up. I'll be here for them.
One of the things that I noticed holding all of the threads together of all the different stories was the fact that the music had changed. It was a mirror held up into essentially another shattered mirror, and people were trying to make sense of the fragments, which is sampling, taking bits and pieces of things and making a full-scale musical composition. All of the voices that I heard reminded me that music, first and foremost, is about communication. Comparing contrasting stories helps you understand how new stories can be told.
Artist and musician Paul Miller, also known as DJ Spooky. This story was put together by independent producer Molly Peterson, and you can see photos of Paul Miller's trip, also links to his website on our website, that's weekendamerica.org.
New Orleans is expecting thunderstorms.